Coming up, we've got the Phenology Report. If you are just leaving your house, you're really busy, don't forget you can always get it on our website at kaxe.org or sign up for a Phenology podcast.
It's time for the Phenology Show. It must be because I've adjusted my chair so that I can stare out the window. It's a good thing this isn't television. That's all I can say. I'm looking at our rain garden and I'm hoping that I will one day soon see some signs of life developing out there. I might even be able to go out there today and kick around and maybe right at grass level find something that is new and green. And you might do the same. I noticed a couple of patches in my yard where the snow had melted back and laying there at the beck and call of the sun, should it ever decide to shine, were a couple of species of sedges that remain green throughout the winter, and a little plant called agrimony, which was a difficult one for me to learn that it overwintered in a green state. And this time of year, as the snow melts back and you get out to the edge of your lawn where you don't mow, you're going to see these lovely green leaves that look remarkably healthy for having been under the snow all winter. And in some cases, those green leaves are a plant called agrimony, but not every case. So just have to go out and learn it. Pardon me. I had a person come up to me and ask me about a bird this past week, and he said there were three of them. They were sitting on the road. Two of them were red and one was a bit more grayish, and he couldn't figure out what they were. And well, lucky for him, earlier this last week, in fact, it was Wednesday last week, I happened to see four red crossbills. And so I was kind of ready, not ready, but at least when he started describing these birds, I was able to say possibly the red crossbill or maybe the white-winged crossbill. I've seen these birds before picking up gravel in the wintertime or in the springtime like this, where the county has spread gravel, especially at intersections. The birds need the grist for their gizzards, and the crossbills, because of the arrangement of their bill, they actually have to tip their head sideways and lay it down on the concrete or on the snow in order to get up the gravel that they need. So that behavior alone is sort of indicative of crossbills if you happen to be in a position to see that behavior. I got a note from my good friend Sam Miltich saying that he was up north. Got a little route that he likes to drive where he goes up toward Little Falls on Highway 65. And he said he got north of Highway 1 and the gray jays were everywhere up there. He said he saw lots and lots of gray jays up there. And Canada geese, there were some of those flying around in that area. Mallards here in the Grand Rapids area, and barred owls. Barred owls were just calling up a storm a week ago today and really making a lot of racket. Red squirrels, I've been watching the red squirrels. I've talked about them chasing. Well, they are chasing now. So if you are watching red squirrels in your yard and you're seeing these chases going on where you'll have maybe a leader and one or two followers, you are probably watching a female with some male squirrels following along, hoping to get a chance to mate with the female. From Ed Dallas, I might have mentioned already, turkey vultures and killdeer and robins and great blue herons in the Deerwood area. And I've had reports on Facebook of the same sort of behaviors as far north as, Brainerd and Bemidji, and some just a little south of Bemidji. So they are gradually working their way back into the area. I have not seen a robin. I have not seen a red-winged blackbird. I have not seen a great blue heron. I have not seen a killdeer. All of them are overdue and should be along any day now. And if you are seeing them, post it or send an email to us and let us know that they're in your neighborhood. And let us know where your neighborhood is, too, because that's always important when it comes to phenology. It's always local. There are a lot of trumpeter swans around the area right now. I think I mentioned probably in the past couple of weeks that the statewide population of trumpeter swans from 1983, when there were zero in the state, to present day, where their estimates of the population are at 15,000 trumpeter swans, most of whom do not migrate and are simply on open water near you or me, and waiting for the lakes to open up. They are out checking out those lakes, and they're doing these exploratory flights. And I happened to see one, a single, flying over Blue Heron Road the other day. And I have seen a number since then, and have seen a number of pictures of them since then. So watch for these big white birds. And this time of year, although we're getting really close to the moment when the tundra swans will come through, the majority of the swans you see this time of year are still going to be the trumpeter swans. Their call is markedly different. The tundra swans are less likely to be calling this time of year than the trumpeter swans. The trumpeter swans are on their natal grounds, on the areas where they're likely to mate and raise young. The tundra swans are simply passing through on their way to the far, far north, Alaska and Russia. And they will be coming through in the spring and coming back through in the fall, usually in big flocks and usually associated with open water on lakes as they rest on their way north. So watch for them. The other marked difference is that I think Harry has told me that 50% of the tundra swans, of the tundra swan population, will have yellow on their bill. So if you're looking through binoculars and you see a large white bird with a bit of yellow on its bill, that is a tundra swan. I had a note on the 29th that the snow is becoming quite crusty. Not quite crusty enough to walk confidently everywhere, but with skis or snowshoes, it will hold you up nicely. And the daily highs that we've been experiencing in the upper 20s are contributing to that. I took a ski on Easter Sunday, and I was able to skate across the open areas. Unfortunately, my better judgment was back home with the Easter eggs hidden away somewhere, because I skied my way into a black spruce swamp, and I thought, well, I know where I am. I'll kind of come down this way, and then if I cut back to the east, I'll end up on my property. Well, I got into the black spruce swamp, and the skiing became more and more difficult because of blowdowns and brush and whatnot. And I thought, well, I'll just take the skis off and walk on the crust. And that turned out to be a failure. And so I put the skis back on. But before I was through, I ended up turning around and sort of making a little loop and picking up the trail that I came in on and skiing my way back out. I don't recommend skiing in a black spruce swamp yet. It's not quite there. Friend of mine, Chad Bowman, was telling me that he had seen red-winged blackbirds last Wednesday in the Grand Rapids area. I've been looking at pussy willows, and they are starting to really show up everywhere. It's pretty easy to see the pussy willows right now. They are getting quite white, and it will be, another 2, maybe 3 weeks before they begin to develop sexual characteristics, and then the male flowers will become quite yellow, and the female flowers will emerge, and they will be pretty much green but it's going to be a little while. I was out looking at tag alders, speckled alders, and there appears to be almost no movement on the catkins, the male flowers, and the tag alders. And this past week was the most often occurring day for that event to take place. That is for the tag alder or speckled alder catkins to distend. And we are nowhere near that right now. We are looking at the kind of spring that we had in 13 and 14. And I'm not sure just how it's going to develop, but it's going to be another week before we really start to see any development at all, because the temperatures are not going to be climbing into the upper 30s and 40s until probably Sunday this next week. My nephew and his father, my brother-in-law, and my father-in-law were all boiling sap, and they found a Compton's tortoiseshell butterfly out flying around on Saturday last week. I heard from Dan, who lives down in the Cromwell area, that he had seen a northern harrier, and Mark over on the Mississippi River west of Grand Rapids over by Schoolcraft had purple finches, trumpeter swans, and some other birds of the spring in his area. Great blue herons down in the, from a radio note, down in the Brainerd area. American robins, mentioned that in the talkback segment, talking about folks over here on 91, just southeast of Grand Rapids a little bit over in Blackberry, had seen an American robin. On my ski expedition the other day, I started off by going out to the lake and went along the edge of Crooked Lake where I live, and just got out on the lake when my eye was dragged up the shore about 200 yards to an otter. And the otter saw me about the same time I saw it, and my dog didn't see the otter right away. Well, the otter and I both realized that the open water that the otter wanted to get into was nearer to me than to the otter. And the otter started breaking toward the open water, and I started skiing toward the open water. I thought, I'm going to get as close as I can before he gets into the water. And the dog then saw the otter, who at this point was kind of running and then sliding and running and sliding across the lake. And the dog took off after the otter, and I got a little worried because I knew that the dog and the otter, if they got to fighting, the dog would probably suffer the worst of the exchange. But the dog is young, and she ran out to the otter and then proceeded to run sort of beside it, about 5 feet away from it. And the otter gave up the sliding and just ran its little heart out. It was running full speed. And it was doing everything it could to get to this hole in the ice where it knew it could get back in the water. And by this time, I'm about 30 feet from the hole in the ice. I'm skiing toward it. The dog and the otter are coming in from about 90 degrees off of where I am. And they're staying pace with one another. And I think in an open race across the lake, the dog could have beat the otter. Longer legs, bigger stride. But they were staying side by side, and the dog wasn't getting too close to the otter. Well, the otter came up on the hole where it was going to dive through the ice and be saved. And it was going full blast. It had all its speed on, as you might say. And all at once it realized, whoa, there's the hole. And it sort of contorted itself sideways, and it's kind of scrabbling and clawing at the ice as it slides past the hole, and caught itself about 3 feet past the hole, turned around, ran back and ducked in the hole and disappeared. And the dog ran right over and stuck its head in the hole. Where did you go? We were just starting to have fun. It was a pretty enjoyable moment for all three. Well, it was an enjoyable moment for me and the dog. I'm not sure how the otter took the whole thing, but it was a great opportunity to see an otter and watch it Run for its little life. A great day. Yeah. A couple other notes really quickly. The catkins on the trembling aspen, the male flowers on the trembling aspens are getting large enough to see pretty easily right now. So you should be able to make out the flowers, the male flowers on the trembling aspen without too much difficulty. I was on my ski journey after I left the otter and went back into the woods. I found the tracks of red fox. They were nicely laid out on that little dusting of snow that we got that was supposed to be 9 inches and turned out to be about an inch. There was a little dusting. It made for nice tracking. There were great tracks for the fox, to see the fox. There was also a house cat track. At least I think it was a house cat track. It was about an inch, maybe an inch and a quarter, and four toes and very cat-like. No, the X was not there, so it was a small animal moving through the woods. And then ruffed grouse. I did not see a ruffed grouse, but I saw their tracks, that chain that they weave through the woods as they walk, and it was delightful. So get out. The crust is nearly enough to support you. If you're wearing snowshoes or cross-country skis, you're going to be just fine out there. And see what happens to you. Maybe you'll run into an otter as well. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. As always, keep your eyes open.